One of the best parts about being home, and that's been the theme for this Advent and it will be for Christmas as well, is the people that we're surrounded by. Surrounded by family and friends. And Hannah and I, we just came back from Michigan, which was horrible in terms of weather. It was horrid. It was frigid. We're happy to live in San Diego. We're never leaving, Lord willing. But it was great to see family, parents, siblings. We saw our little niece. We had family from Germany come visit us. And it was a comfort and a blessing to be able to eat and play and eat some more with them. But when we think about all of our family gatherings, as nice as ours was and as nice as yours are, if we're being really honest, being surrounded by family while being a huge blessing is also the most difficult part of the holidays. And like any good gift, the blessing of family comes with a little baggage attached and more than a few burdens, because the people who love you the most, who know you the most intimately, also have the highest and best ability to aggravate and annoy and to hurt you like no other person can. And so it's hard to admit, especially in a season where we try to lean into the warm and the fuzzy of Christmas, but family life is tangled with tension. And so it's important to remember that what we anticipate in Advent and what we look forward to, yes, of course, as we said, the birth of Jesus, but also the return of Jesus. The same Jesus who arrives in his weakness on Christmas morning to save the world from sin and death has promised that he is going to come again with glory to raise the dead to new life and recreate the world. And in that recreated world, in this new and everlasting home that Jesus is preparing for us right now, he says that all that is bad and broken in our earthly families is going to be made right. And that is very, very good news. As soon as we start thinking about our families, we realize what good news that is. That this place, this kingdom of eternity, will have all the blessing of family with not 1 ounce of burden or baggage or conflict. And in these closing chapters of Isaiah's sweeping prophecy, the prophet paints a very vivid picture of the future home that this Savior King is going to bring for us. He describes a world that is marked by justice for the wronged, reconciliation for the most broken relationships, and a joyful unity forever with our family. So we're going to take a moment to appreciate all three of those. And we're going to go through the scripture, just a couple of bits of it. Isaiah writes in verse 15 of our reading today, "For behold, the Lord will come in fire, and his chariot is like whirlwind to render his anger in fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire." Now that sounds like warm, cozy family, doesn't it? No, it doesn't. But when Jesus returns, he will come with judgment. And this too, believe it or not, is actually very good news. Because injustice and evil and dysfunction, they abound in this world. Your family is not a unique family. It is every family. It is every community. It is every nation. It is this whole world. And you and I, we both contribute to them. And we've suffered because of them. And when Christ returns, he says that for all of this mess, for all of the wrongs and the suffering that's caused and the injustice, there's going to be an accounting for all of it. That those who are not covered by the payment that Jesus made for sin, those who refuse his mercy, his grace, and his forgiveness, they will be left standing before him with nothing but their little good deeds, their rationalizations as to why they didn't or couldn't reasonably follow him, and their best explanations for why they did what they did and how they lived their lives. But it won't be enough. Those who depend on their own righteousness and their own reason and their own ways instead of the light and the way and the righteousness of Jesus that he gives to us so freely, well, they lose everything. And they will. And in the end, we're going to see with very clear eyes ourselves that Christ to this world is both terribly dangerous, but also terribly safe. For the proud, Jesus is the biggest threat imaginable. He is a terror. And for the humble, he is the safest refuge. That's you. That's me. This is a hard truth. But for us, it's a peace-giving truth, because it means that there will be justice. For every awful, atrocious thing that you've done, there will be justice. For every awful thing that has been done to you, there will be justice. That thing that your uncle did, the way that your loved one was supposed to protect you but didn't and harmed you instead, the wounds that you carry, the trauma you've endured, and the good that you failed to do knowingly or unknowingly, and the evil that you've allowed to let happen. None of it, whether it's your family members or you, none of it has been overlooked whatsoever. None of it has been dismissed, because God loves you and me and this whole world too much to let his justice go by the wayside. In the end, every sin will be seen, and every sin will be paid for, either by the blood of Jesus or by the ones who insist on defending their own record. In all of the mess of this world and all of the mess of your life and in your family, it can very often seem that your pain has been forgotten, that your scars stopped mattering a while ago, and that was done in the dark will stay hidden forever, that the aches that come out can hit us the hardest during the family gatherings where we're reminded of those things and the relationships in the past. It's all messy. But God sees, God knows, and in Christ in the end, he has promised that he will make it right. The second beautiful aspect of the kingdom that Jesus brings is reconciliation. We have had justice, now reconciliation. Look at what Isaiah says. For the time is coming to gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and they shall see my glory. He goes on to name distant foreign nations that you had a hard time reading silently and I had a hard time reading out loud. These are foreign nations. These are enemies to the people of Israel. And what does he refer to them as? Brothers. The picture is profound. The image is clear. When Christ returns, there is going to be a sweeping reconciliation, healing even the deepest relational rifts and binding us together as his mercy is poured out on all of us in the same way. And we tend to hear something like this and think globally, right? Ah, won't it be wonderful if Israel and Palestine, oh, and when they finally get together, or the red and the blue states, or the progressive and the conservative ideologies and the theologies and all those things. And sure, whenever we think of peace on earth, we literally picture the earth and the countries and the nations and all these different people. And that's true. And that's what Isaiah has in mind here as he writes. But this peace that reconciles all nations to be brothers is also smaller than that. Think smaller for a moment with me. And think of your family. Think of your home. Think of your relatives. Think of your relationships. And I want to ask, what divides are still defining the relationships that you're in right now? What bloodline battles come to mind that have been shaking your family tree for generations and have somehow still dragged you along with it as the next generation comes? Whose presence at Christmas dinner would make the whole house just a little more tense, so you're hoping they can't make it? And who's skipping Christmas altogether because they've broken up all contact? And we all have stories. We all have families. And we all carry deep ache. And deep down, we know, like with everything that we've seen in this series and these services, that it shouldn't be like this. It can't remain like this, can it? The angels proclaimed peace on earth, not strife between siblings. And so, yeah, we work for peace today. We pray for forgiveness and reconciliation now. That is the reality that Jesus has won for us. And at the same time, we hold fast, we cling desperately to the promise of what will be, that this same Christ is coming back to us. And when he does, every single one of his children will be brought back together in the way and the relationship that they're supposed to have. Maybe your family has a black sheep. Maybe you are the black sheep, or you feel like that. Perhaps they or you have settled with being on the outs, with having the boundaries kind of drawn around them. The circle has closed and you're not in it. But if that's you, or if that's somebody that you know and love, hear this. Isaiah's vision is still good news. The day is coming where through Jesus, you, they will be warmly welcomed again, fully restored, fully reconciled, and every issue between you all will be finally erased. We have justice, we have reconciliation, and then finally Isaiah tells us of unity. It's an image that we hear a lot about, and it's something that we try to do, you know, team building exercises at work or, you know, those kinds of things. But what is it? What should it be, right? Isaiah tells us in the final moments of his prophecy that in this new creation, this unity, it won't be something that's fleeting. It's going to be constant. It will be the air that we breathe. And right now, if we think about our relationships, especially with our families, can you remember and can you think of a time where you had this sense of unity? You were kind of in that sweet spot, in the pocket with all of your family members. Maybe it was at a gathering, the time was just right, and you just went, ah, this is so nice. What a warm, peaceful thing. But then in the back of your mind, in the back of all of our minds, there's always this little timer that's that's ticking down. And you know that it's ticking down to the next family conflict, because as nice as any time is, whether it's Christmas right after the service, because we're all fighting on the way to the service, right? But it's right after the service, we're sitting on the couch, we're eating a cookie, ah, oh, it's so nice, but it never lasts, right? We're always waiting. But the unity that we're talking about here is different. Take a look again at what Isaiah says. From new moon to new moon, that means month to month, Sabbath to Sabbath, week to week, all flesh shall come to worship before me, declares the Lord. Day after day, we will be united in heart and purpose, worshiping Jesus together. And I want you to imagine this, that you are surrounded forever by the people you love, and that you love all of them the most that you could ever love anyone, and they love you the same, and you are all together, and you are the forgiven, restored, renewed, perfected family of God, you and me and everyone who has been baptized into Christ. And together with one voice, in one heart, will say, there is no place I'd rather be, and there is no one else that I would rather be with. And we don't have to bottle that moment. There's no timer ticking down in the back of our heads, because it won't end. Imagine it like the best wedding you've ever been to, surrounded by your family. You know, everybody's going nuts. The hours fly by. Your cheeks hurt because you haven't stopped smiling in hours. Time disappears. It's just a glimpse, just an imagination of what it will be like, the eternal joy forever unified in the house of Jesus. But that's not going to be this year, is it? This year, as you find yourself in the midst of your families, and things are wonderful and nice and cozy, but they're crazy and they're broken and they're messy, and we all know it, but you know, this year it might feel far off. Maybe this year, until Jesus comes back, guaranteed this year is going to fall short of what we know is coming and what we know should be. But Isaiah's vision helps us that in the midst of the darkness and in the brokenness, to lift our hearts with hope. Even if no warm, fuzzy moment is on your holiday, even though you won't quite have what we've been talking about here, know this. A forever joy, a family celebration like no other, marked by wonderful, deep connection and soul-satisfying communion, is coming. Because this child that's born unto us grew up, and he won it for us, and he's coming back to bring it to us. And so at Christmas, we long for the blessing of the full table and the full house surrounded by the people that know us best and love us most. But we also realize that for now, the burden will come with that. And if the brokenness this year starts to outshine the blessing, if you just need to take a little moment outside the house when things get a little too crazy, turn your heart to the promises that God speaks through Isaiah today that are fulfilled in Jesus. The Jesus who came once at Christmas, he's coming again. And when he does, he will bring us home to a feast that truly satisfies, a family without fractures, and a joy that never fades. And on that day, your praise, your peace, and your home will all be unbroken forever. Amen.